Revelation 9, remember that we are in the section dealing with the trumpet judgments. They're following the rapture. There will be three sets of seven judgments each. Each of the seven open into the next seven, and each individual judgment is worse than the one before it. And we're now through all of the seal judgments. We're in the seven trumpet judgments. And we're all, remember the first one? The first trumpet judgment is hail and fire mingled with blood. That's in chapter 8, verse 7. A third of the trees and the vegetation will be burned up. The trees will be burned up. All the vegetation will burn up, and that'll cause floods and all kinds of problems. The trumpet judgments continue with number 2, which is in chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. A third of the life on the in the sea and on the sea will die. All marine life will be affected. All people who are on the oceans will be affected. A third of those, as well as a third of the marine life, will die. In chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, we will see multitudes die from poisoned water and waters. And then number 4, trumpet number 4, in chapter 8, verse 12, all of the stars, all of the moons, all of the heavenly bodies that radiate light will be dimmed by a third. That's going to affect not only our own planet and our own solar system, but all the solar systems in the universe. Listen, the creator of the universe is going to turn the lights down, and it's going to be incredible. Of course, the devastating effects that will come from that will be worldwide. We saw trumpet number 5. Trumpet number 5 in verses 1 through 11 of chapter 9, and we're going to reread part of that again here this evening. We have demonic creatures which will be brought out of the abyss, and they will descend upon the earth like a cloud of locusts, and they will torment not the saved, but they will torment those who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Amazing. Now, in that fifth trumpet, we have three sub-judgments called the woe, W-O-E, judgments. And we saw the first one last week. Look at the 13th verse of chapter 8. Following the sounding of the fourth trumpet, here's what happens. I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, one time, woe, second time, woe, third time, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. It's going to get worse. In fact, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's what he's saying. Then we see the first woe in chapter 9, verse 1. Now, the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and the result are these demonic creatures who descend upon the lost on this earth and torment them. Look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, this star is not Jesus Christ. You know that. Number one, we know it because it's not capitalized, right? It's not capitalized. Also, we know that Jesus would not open the bottomless pit and let these creatures out, of course. And there's other things that tell us that it's actually Satan who is the fallen angel. And listen, Satan will have been waiting for hundreds and thousands of years for this moment right here. You see, from eternity past, there have been creatures, fallen angels, who've been imprisoned in the abyss. You know that Lucifer was created as the music director in heaven, right? He was in charge of all music in heaven. And as a result of his rebelling against God and rebelling against the authority of God, he was cast out of heaven. He drew a third of the angels with him. They followed him. And so many of them are locked up. This all happened before creation. They are locked up, and they're locked up till they get right here, okay? And Satan has been waiting to get the key to let them loose because he hates mankind. Why? Well, it's not because we're worth hating, although some of us probably are, but it's because we are God's creation, number one. Number two, Jesus died for us, and he hates us for that. And he wants to destroy mankind before they can accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. That's why you see people taking drugs to the school playground. That's why they give those to little kids to get them addicted, because the devil is sending them to those places to catch them and take over their minds. That's why you have people who defile children and cause them to be just terribly mentally and emotionally destroyed. I personally believe that a person who defiles a child should be hanged. That's my opinion. They stoned them in the Old Testament. So if you're one of those out there, you know, be glad you don't live in Moses' day. They'd have just stoned you to death. We could at least be nice and hang them or take them to the guillotine. You wouldn't feel a thing. Did you know the guillotine was developed by a doctor who wanted to have a more painless way and more humane way to execute prisoners? You don't feel a thing. At least no one's been able to tell us that they did. And these people who do this to our children, and the people who go and murder and maim and do all, the devil is trying to capture the minds of kids. That's why parents have to be so very careful what their children read, what they watch on the internet, what they watch on television, what they now watch on phones. Listen, there is so much demonic activity in the phone, in the games, and the programs. For example, I put this on my Facebook page this week. I have never liked VeggieTales. Never. I can't get past, and I guess it's because one of the characters plays a sousaphone, a tuba, and he does it without fingers. Now, how do you play a sousaphone without fingers? How do they walk without feet? But I, being serious, I've never liked turning Bible character people in the Bible into vegetables. I just don't like that. There's just something that just didn't go with my spirit on that. I now have found out just this past week, and I'm catching up, I'm behind on all this. The guy who put all that in place and wrote all of that and did all that, he doesn't even believe the first 10 words in the Bible. He doesn't believe that God created the world, literally created everything in 6 literal days. He doesn't believe it. And he believes if that you believe that, there's something wrong with you. Well, hey, how many kids have been caught and have been captured by this guy and his Veggie Tales? You see, there's so much stuff that looks innocent on the surface. But we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God so that when we come across something like that, Holy Spirit says, no. Why not? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I never know. Now I know. But I just, something about that I didn't like. And my kids and grandsons, I just don't know why you don't like that. I just don't like it. There's something. Of course, I'm that way about cartoons in general. I don't like animals in cartoons that talk. But this beyond that, there was something in my spirit just said, that's wrong. And they're after our kids. And Satan wants to open this pit so that he can let the really bad ones loose. Okay? Now, verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, that holding tank, for the fallen angels that are really, really bad. By the way, if you do spiritual warfare and know anything about that, and you have been instructed to send those fallen angels that are tormenting you to the abyss, and they have to go. And so all the ones that were in it at the beginning of the abyss are not the same number that are there now. There's more there now than there were then because of Christians who have been commanding them to go, and that's a whole other story, a whole other study. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Now, it wasn't real smoke. It was the evil that was ascending out of it like a smoldering fire. As the smoke of a great furnace, you see, it's not literal smoke. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I think that when these things rose out of the pit of hell and they begin to descend upon the earth, upon the people, they will obliterate most of the sky. There are motion pictures of the Dust Bowl in western Oklahoma. My dad grew up in that. And you can see this giant cloud. It looks like, nothing you've ever seen. If it were color, it would even be more oppressive. And it's just rolling, huge billows of dust. And the whole thing just goes black. And it wasn't until that storm cloud of dust reached Washington, D.C. that the politicians did anything about it. It's going to be like that, I think. That's what he's trying to describe here. The evil, and I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a place or gone somewhere or just sitting in your prayer room looking at the Bible and talk that you just felt the darkness that is enveloping our country? Are you all aware of that? The darkness is unbelievable. I think someone said the best thing we can do now is just punch holes in the dark, because the darkness is so prevalent. And it's accepted, listen, it is accepted as normal by most people in this world. And, you know, we talk about children. You know that there's children present, so I won't go into this, but there are groups that advocate adults and children getting married, but without the marriage. Y'all grown-ups know what I'm talking about? Evil, evil, vile. And if you don't say that there's nothing wrong with that, they want to destroy you. And anyone who says you can't do that is treated as some kind of a nut. And there came out of the smoke locusts. Now, these aren't real locusts. The only thing he can describe is something that looked like a huge locust swarm upon the earth. And unto them was given power, like as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded they should not hurt the grass. We know they're not real locusts because that's what they eat. Nor any green thing. They eat that too. They eat trees. Can't hurt any of those. The only thing you can hurt are the men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was like or as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Very painful, a horrible torment. And in those days shall men seek death, but shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. No one's going to be able to die for 5 months. They will try to commit suicide as a result of the torment. And listen, friend, in hell tonight, there are millions and millions of people that would give anything to die, to become nothing. People think, you know, there's a whole school of thinking that says that, you know, when a person takes their last breath, that's the end of the person. No, friend. Once you are conceived, you will live for all eternity, and where you live for all eternity is up to you. Now, the only exception to that are those who cannot understand their need for Jesus, and they get to go to be with Jesus in paradise anyway. But other than those who are kept safe, those who reach the age of what the theologians call the age of accountability, and they can make a choice to accept or reject Jesus, hey, they're making a determination, friend. If you're watching tonight, listen to me, you are making a determination right now where you're going to spend all eternity. And you will live forever in a living death, or you'll live forever in a living place of eternity, of heaven, with Jesus for all eternity. It's up to you. And these people are going to try to kill themselves, and they can't. They won't be able to die. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, panoplied for conflict, prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. They did what they did with power. And their faces whereas the faces of men. In other words, they were able to discern who to attack and who not to attack. And they had hair as the hair of women. Now, that means their hair was long, because ladies are supposed to have long hair. Y'all understand that? That's what the Bible says. It says if a man has hair like a woman, it's shameful. And women to have hair, conversely, like men is shameful. I was in a restaurant the other day, or a store of some kind, I can't remember where it was, and there was this person, I'm not sure whether it was male or female, or just kind of not sure, and it had, you know, I think it was female, but had a man's haircut, you know, man's clothes, man's shoes, man's watch, all that. That, by the way, and this will get me in trouble with Zuckerberg, I'm sure, that's demonic. Y'all aware of that? That's just demonic. messing with their minds. Satan wants to get them, people, to disavow God's order in creation. Well, I knew they'd go around with a lot of amens, so let me keep going. So these creatures look like people in their face. They're intelligent. They have long hair like women. They're panoplied for conflict. They have power. They had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. You can cross that with Isaiah chapter 9 when you get home. And their power was to hurt men, listen, 5 months. And they had a king over them. This is how we know they're not real locusts, because locusts don't have kings. Who's the king of the demons? That's the angel of the bottomless pit. Who is he? Satan, Lucifer. His name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. In Greek tongue it is Apollyon. This is the destroyer. Who's the destroyer? Lucifer, Satan. Now he says in verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. It's going to get worse. Now all that brings us to woe number two. Look at verse 13. And the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, friend, listen. You know, there's the brazen altar that's out in the common area in the tabernacle, later the temple. Then there is the golden altar that's right before the place that signified the presence of God, right? And there is a temple in heaven, and there's an altar there, and that's what they're talking about. The sixth angel, as I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, right now, that golden altar, which is before God, cries to him for mercy and forgiveness for us. But listen, friend, there is coming a time in the not too distant future when it will no longer call for God's mercy, and instead it will cry for God's judgment. The day is coming when the altar will no longer cry for mercy for us. It will cry for God's judgment, and rightly so. Notice verse 14, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose forth the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, where is that? Well, it's in the Middle East, you know that. It's where Baghdad is capital. It's located where Baghdad is the capital. The great river Euphrates is an amazing thing. It is the first one of four tributaries that came out of the Garden of Eden. It begins in the Armenian Mountains, some of the highest on the earth. And during the spring floods, it flows down into the Taurus Range and into the Mesopotamian Valley and down into the Persian Gulf. It is the most important, it is the longest, biggest river in all the Western Asia. It's the place where sin began. It was the place where the first misery began. It's the place where the first lie was told. The first murder was committed. It is the place where the first grave was digged. Listen, it is the scene, that Euphrates River is the scene where two great apostasies before and after the flood occurred. It's the scene of the rise of Israel's greatest and most important enemies. It's the scene and place where the long years of Israel's captivity occurred. The Euphrates area, that part of the world, is where the rise of those great world empires that oppressed civilization, Assyria, Babylon, and the Medes and the Persians. This is a very important area of the world. And verse 14 says, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, who are these angels which are bound in the river in the area of the river Euphrates? They are fallen angels, not heavenly angels. They are chained until it's time. And when the time comes, they will be released. And the four angels were loosed, who were prepared for, you have an hour, a day, a month, a year. Those are definite articles. In other words, you could translate it the hour, the day, the month, the year, for to slay a third part of men. These fallen angels were enchained there for a specific day, a specific month, a specific year. They will be loosed, and God is right on time. Everything's going to happen just like it says in the book. Now, back in chapter 8, we saw that a third of the world's population has died by this point. By the way, this all occurs in the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, right? First 3.5, all hunky-dory, everything's ginger-peachy. The last half is when all this just gets worse. They're not going to connect up why until the end, and even then they won't listen. But in chapter 9, we have another third of those still alive, which it comprises a total of half of the world's population will die in less than 3.5 years. When these angels are done, a total of one half, the first third and a third of what's left, makes it half of the world's population, which was alive at the time of the rapture, will be dead. Verse 16. Notice this. And the number of the armies of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Now, how many is 200,000,000? That is 200 million. Now, you must remember that Xerxes invaded Greece with the largest foot army ever deployed in all of world history. He brought into Greece 2.5 million men. How many is going to be in this army? 200 million, 10 times more than Xerxes took into Greece. And listen, friend, there is but one nation in the whole earth that has a population large enough to field an army that big, and it's Red China, Communist China. The current population of Communist China is right at 1.4 billion people. And if you take out that 1.4 billion people, of that number, it is estimated that there are 715 million males. And when you take out the boys who are underage, there are approximately, listen, 500,000 of them between ages 15 and 64. And Russia to the north, and China to the east. Remember, it says in the Bible, in the Old Testament, tidings out of the east and north shall trouble Israel. They are going to combine again after having done so prior to the rapture. And they're going to go after Israel. But look what happens. Number of the armies was 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them, having breastplates of fire and hyacinth and brimstone. Now, these are not literal horses. These are not literal horses. We know this by the descriptions that follow. He says, I saw the horses in the vision, and them on them sat on them, or, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of hyacinth and brimstone. Now, hyacinth is a blue color. Now, this whole idea is that of judgment. You know that when you are looking at your gas flame on your kitchen stove, you have the hottest part of the flame is blue, right? Blue. Not yellow, that's cooler, but blue. And that's the reason for the use of this color. Having breastplates of fire and of hyacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as or like the heads of lions. This is how we know they're not real horses, because horses don't have lions' heads. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Friend, these are the weapons of hell. And at this point, literally, all hell breaks loose on the earth right here. By these was the third part of men killed, by fire and by smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads with them, and with them they do hurt. Now some teach that this is a metaphor for modern military weapons, but I don't think so. Based upon the text and the context, I am convinced that when these fallen angels rise out of the abyss, they rise out of the place where they were locked up in the area of the Euphrates. Listen, and they descend upon mankind. No words of a human being will be able to describe how horrible they are and what awful, terrible things they will do. Now, verse 20, if you've got your pen, you should put a box around it. It is the most incredible and the most horrible verse in all the Bible. It is the most horrible and incredible verse in all the Bible. Verse 20. And the rest, now who are they? The half of the population that was alive at the beginning of the tribulation. Remember, all of them are alive here. They go 3.5 years, and then we continue into the last 3.5 years. Early on, a third of them will die. And like I just said, a third of what's left will die. So half of the world's population will be already dead. And the remaining half, that's the rest, verse 20, of the men. Now that doesn't mean men only. That means just mankind. Who were not killed by these plagues. Listen, these three words, yet repented not. Yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship, that word means demons, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Listen, one after watching one half of the world's population die, after watching the skies dim by a third, by watching all of the trees burn and a third of the, you know, the vegetation die, and watching all the creatures on the water and in the water die, after watching the demons descend on mankind like a plague, and then watching that last third die, total of half, you would think that the ones who were still living would fall on their face and cry out to God for mercy. You'd think they would. You'd think they would, don't you? But listen, what does it say? Yet they repented not. They will not do it. And they will be like the typical American tonight, even many church members who are too busy for God, who think that, you know, other things, their mind is not on the things of God. They're concerned about earthly things, temporary things, that money and the things that money can buy and all the rest. And in this age of God's grace, He pleads and pleads and pleads with them and begs them to follow Jesus, His Son, as Savior. And they ignore Him even now in this age of mercy. Just like they will during the time of judgment on the earth. Oh, friend, the time to get saved is now. The time to get saved is now. The time to serve Jesus is now. The judgment of God is coming. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get saved now. Serve Jesus now. Because the time is coming. Listen, they repented not, verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries. And that word sorcery is the word from which we get our words pharmacy. Word pharmacy from. It has to do with witchcraft. Drugs, illegal drugs, these mind-altering things. Not talking about medication, talking about mind-altering drugs. And friend, if you don't know anything about what drugs can do to a person, you've got another thing coming. You have missed it. I was in Sallisaw, Oklahoma. Stillwell, Oklahoma. Driving home one night. And we stopped to get gasoline. And it was about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Got gasoline, wife and grandkids went inside. They went to the restroom, you know how you do. I went in to pay. They came back out to the van, and I went in to pay and get them something to drink. And as I came back out, I have a picture of this. I looked down on the pavement, the parking lot, and I saw a square, little square zip bag with some white something inside. I called 911. The sheriff came, and they took a look at it, put on their gloves, put on their mask, and they picked it up. I said, "Is that what I think it is?" They said, "Yes." And they said to me that they have an incredible, this is in Stillwell. I think I said, did I say Sallisaw? Stillwell. It's in Stillwell. This is Stillwell, Oklahoma. This is not Dallas. This is not Austin. This is not Little Rock or New York City. This is in Stillwell, Oklahoma. That'd be like being in Sepulpa. Just a county seat town, right? They said, we have a horrible drug problem in our county. It is indescribable. And this is just part of it. We see this all the time. We knew immediately when you called in what it was. Not too many months ago, we had a man show up in our midweek service, sat on the back row. He was lit up like a Christmas tree. And he was, you know, just, it was just weird. We had one of them just last week. It was just weird. And, you know, and he was so messed up by demons and drugs, he didn't even know his name when I talked with him after the service, you remember. And this guy showed up this many months ago. And he went, I thought he'd left. I was turning the lights out and getting ready to leave. I heard some noise in the front bathroom, and I didn't know what was going on. And I opened the door, and he was standing there like he was going to go to the restroom. And I backed out and apologized. I'm so very sorry. And I waited for him to get through, you know. And he stayed there, and he stayed there. I said, are you all right? You know, well, I'm having some problems. I said, do I need to call an ambulance? Well, you don't know. And finally, he came out of the restroom. I was sitting there waiting, and he came out. I said, I'll take you to the hospital or whatever you need. And do you mean call the police an ambulance and have them? No, don't call them. He finally came out of there smiling from ear to ear like a Cheshire cat. And he left I'm fine now. It's okay. And he told me, I already knew what his name was because he told me before church service. And he left. I went into the restroom. Expecting, frankly, to find a mess, because that's just what I expected. What I did not expect is to find a little envelope, little zip bag with something in it. I called the police. They came in, put on the gear. They picked it up, and it was heroin. It was heroin. And he was shooting up right out in our restroom. And I asked him, they said, we knew exactly who it was. We know him by name. He lives under the bridge north of the church. They built that new bridge. He lives under that bridge, and he lives in the park during the nice time of the year. And they issued some kind of a thing to keep him away from our facilities. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's heroin. He said, this police officer is a Christian. He said, Pastor, the number one drug problem in Creek County is heroin. I thought it was meth. He said, it's heroin. Heroin. And heroin is horrible stuff. All of it's horrible. It's part of this word, sorcery. Pharmacology is the word you get for drugs. And the mind-altering drugs are part of the demonic realm. And there are people in this country who are professing Christians who want to legalize it. They want to regulate it. And, of course, the politicians want to tax it. We are destroying our country. We're destroying it. Because once those things get in that person's system, you see, it's not just a chemical addiction. It is an emotional and spiritual addiction. And they come under the control of the demonic realm. Even if they're saved, they can be oppressed. Now, a Christian cannot be possessed by demons because he's possessed by Jesus. When you get saved, you become Jesus' property. That's beautiful. You become Jesus' property. He owns you. He marks you. He holds you in his hand. And no one, not even a drug dealer, can take you out of Jesus' hand. But you can be oppressed. Oppressed. That means to be negatively influenced. And the devil is in the process. If he can't keep your soul from getting saved, he will do everything he can to destroy your life. And often he does it even with prescription medications. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. That's immorality. Listen, nor of their thefts. Thefts. Why would the Lord inspire John to write with murders? We think, well, yeah, that's terrible. And sorcery, witchcraft and drugs, all of that. And immorality. He puts with that stealing. Well, you know why? Because that's one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Thou shalt not steal. Steal. And there's a lot of things we can steal without stealing something physical. You know, I won't say it this, well, I guess I will, since I've already started. Dr. R.G. Lee, years ago, was asked to preach at a loyalty banquet. He said he didn't know what that was. He said he'd never preached, had a loyalty banquet at the Bellevue Baptist Church. He said, I preached loyalty every Sunday. And the pastor, they were sitting up on the elevated platform where they were eating their meal, and the pastor said to Dr. Lee, he said, there's about 800,000 people here, half of them are men, and half of them don't give God their tenth. The pastor said, land on them for me, Dr. Lee, and for God and for themselves. And R.G. Lee, who had a real good sense of humor, he had a real interesting sense of humor, he said, give me half a minute. He got up, and everybody sat to listen to this great pastor, famous pastor, preached one of the most famous sermons of all history called Payday Someday. If you've never heard it, you need to. And he got up and said, give me half a minute. And he got up and said, brethren and sisters and thieves! And he proceeded to just blister them. You see, we steal from God our time when we don't read the Bible like we should. We shouldn't, when we don't witness like we should. We don't serve Him like we should. We are stealing from God. When we don't share the gospel with a lost person, we are stealing salvation from them. Do you realize that? We are stealing salvation from them. We are robbing them of eternal life. When we don't live for Jesus, we are robbing ourselves. And if you've ever backslid, you know exactly what I mean. You know what it's like to be poor and destitute spiritually because you've robbed yourself of the blessings of God. We could spend a long time about that, but suffice to say, the time to get saved is now. We need to serve Him now. We need to help people to know Jesus now, because we're going to run out of time pretty soon. All of these things are yet future, that's true, but they are very, very close to yet future. I mean, they're not far from now. But as a minimum, they're 3.5 years from now if the rapture should occur tonight. So we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's coming. It's coming. And listen, we ought to love those lost people that we know and run into enough to warn them. To warn them. Even if they think we're some kind of nut, even if they think there's something wrong with us, which they're, you know, I think it was R.G. Lee, in fact, said, talking about Jesus, they made fun of Him. They said he was this and that or the other. And then R.G. Lee said, they said about Jesus that He was beside Himself. Means He's crazy. R.G. Lee said, listen, if Jesus was beside Himself, God help me to be beside myself. I just want to be as narrow as Jesus, as crazy as Jesus, as dedicated as Jesus. And you know what? We'll never get there, but we can sure try. And we can do what Paul talked about, run the race and reach after. He talked about things in athletic terms that most of us can understand. And he said, I am reaching out for that which I have been reached out for. God grasped me. He grabbed me. He reached down His hand and pulled me out of the miry clay. And I am grabbing hold to grab onto what I've been grabbed for. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. It's too late to be cautious, friends. It's too late to be cautious. The time is slipping away. And before we know it, it might even be before we could meet the next time on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night like this. Before we know it, you know, things could happen and we might not be able to meet here. I have a friend who lives in another state, Washington State. And we talked last night briefly about some things. I was just checking up on him and seeing how he's doing. His brother passed away recently. And he said, y'all going to have church tomorrow? I said, yeah. He said, our governor would arrest you if you did that here in Washington State, in a state in the United States of America. I glibly said, I'd like to see him try. But you know what, friends? We're just rolling over and playing dead. The devil is preparing mankind for the one world religion of the Antichrist, the one world government of the Antichrist, the one world economy of the Antichrist. He won't take over, you know, with a fight. Our people will be primed and ready. A lot of churchgoers too, who never heard the gospel from their pulpits, never read it in their literature, and they'll just think this is fine. We need to warn them. That's the point. We need to warn them. Let's pray.